A shir, Baruch Hashem, and we spent the whole shir on the first pasuk. Lam natzech al yidusun yizmog David. We said the whole shir. Who is yidusun? What is yidusun? So we can't go over the whole thing all over again. But basically, we had like five or six perushim on Mizmor Samach Beis. Mizmor Samach Beis, page 534. And of course, welcome back to everyone of Kalman. Shalom aleichem. Welcome back. How was your Pesach? Mitzuyon.
It passed over.
Dr. Dove, how was your Yom Tov? And Menachem, how was your Yom Tov?
Amazing, had a new
Oh, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. Mazel, very nice. This from who's the Enikol from? The one that got married recently?
Moshe Chaim with Aryeh,
36 Benel. Not the one that got married. He had a son that got married like a year ago?
No, not that.
Okay, Ariyasu, good morning.
I heard Manishtana six times in Hebrew, and then once in English.
Once in English.
It took half an hour just to
Just Manishtana. Okay. Okay. Okay, Baruch Hashem.
I just want to get it in three languages.
What did you say?
I had one who did it in three languages.
What are the languages?
English, Hebrew, and Yiddish.
That's too easy.
You wanted French, Ukrainian, and
Yeah, Avada, of course. Okay, so here we go. So we last week we learned Mizmor Samach Beis, Samach Beis, Yidusun, just to summarize in a few words. It either means the more basic question, who composed this Mizmor? So according to most Mefarshim, David, and it says explicitly, Mizmor LeDavid. I mean, what do you want? David composed the Mizmor. David then gave it over to a person whose name was Yidusun, who had a unique talent, maybe he had a unique voice, a unique musical talent, and he is the one that related and sang it to the people. That's one pshat. Another pshat is that Yidusun is the composer. It's an incredible chiddush. I already forget who said what, but that Yidusun wasn't just a mishorer. Yidusun was actually the person that composed this mizmor. And mizmor LeDavid, I guess what that means, that David was very inspired by the composition of Yidusun, and he incorporated it into Sefer Tehillim, which is not, I mean, we have many composers that have been incorporated into the Sefer, like Moshe, and, okay, I forget all the names, there are 10, there's a Medrash that's Adam, right, and this is another composition. David was the Malachit. He collected from different compositions that he felt were written on Ruach HaKodesh. And Rav Shalom Aleichem, Rav Leza, welcome. Welcome, Rav Heshi. Welcome. Okay, so we're reading over here, we're learning over Mizmor Samach Beis. Samach Beis on page 355, 534. And we're reviewing, we learned on Friday, we spent the whole show on the first pasuk. Either Yidusun is a Mishorer, Yidusun may have been the actual composer of this mizmor, or Yidusun means a musical instrument. David is saying that there's a certain type of musical instrument that should be used when this mizmor is sung. Another pshat, then we have another pshat, which is very important, is Yidusun lashon of das. As every married man, we joke, every last words of every man in this world is, Hareyat mikudesh asli betavazu kidas, Moshe v'Yisrael. The last time a person has freedom of choice. The last time your mind is operating at its peak, before your mind is taken over by the aliens, is when you say those words, kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. It's not with an ayin. People make that mistake. It's not kidas. It doesn't mean knowledge. It means the law. According to the law of the Jewish people, like we always joke, is that a person has a mother-in-law, father-in-law, a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, a sister-in-law, a brother-in-law, any other in-laws, all different the in-laws, but then you have, so who's the law? Who is the law? Your wife, she is the law. If everyone else is a brother-in-law, in-law, son-in-law, mother-in-law, the wife is the law. That's das. Hare at. Nikudashus libitabazu kidas. The law of kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. And here it means lavetzech al yidusun mizmog David. And we learn Rashi. Rashi says a very powerful insight, which really opens up a whole commentary to the whole mizmor. And das means gezeros. That the goyim, throughout our exile, have enacted and have passed legislation that is against us. It's laws targeting the Jewish people. If you want to say on a very superficial level, shechita, the goyim are on shechita, on bris milah. Okay, those are easy, low hanging fruit. But there are some types of things that, more sophisticated types of things that they do that we don't even realize what they're doing until we're in a lot of trouble. Education, different education, and all these different types of things which may seem to be innocent, but then when we look at the bylaws and we look what's really going on, and you know whether they're doing it consciously. The Sar Shalmaila is getting involved, and then we find ourselves in a lot of trouble dealing with some of the gezeros that the goyim are goyzer, and make it very hard for a Jew to be a shomer Torah u'mitzvos kdas. So this lamatzech al yidusun Rav Chol Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. I saw you two boys last night. You know where, Baruch Hashem, they're very good. I spoke to my brother yesterday. He told me that Meir is the best boy in the whole yeshiva.
And he may happen as a rabbi if he goes back.
He told me he's the best. He's the pe'er of the whole yeshiva. Merkas HaTorah, Amachol's grandson, is a star. Lanatzech al yidusun mizmar leDavid. Yidusun is the das. Okay, so now we've done that. Now we're going to the pasuk base. Now we're going to go into the whole story. Now these are some very complicated psukim, and I think a lot of the psukim they really fit well when you learn that the word yidusun is das, that the entire mizmar is focusing on gezeros. Ach el elokim dumia nafshi. Mimenu, from him comes Yeshua. Now, Dumia means silence. That was last week's parasha. Vayidoim Aaron. Aaron was quiet. Now, this interesting Rashi. Rashi says it wasn't only Aaron that was quiet. It was all of the Kohanim. Rashi there says, I forgot exactly what point, but let's Rashi, know, we always focus Vayidoim Aaron. Aaron had the midah of Vayidoim. He was silent. He accepted the gezeirah. But the truth is, Aaron wasn't the only one who suffered when Nadav Avihu died suddenly. All of Klal Yisrael suffered, and Klal Yisrael accepted it. And here is the same idea: Dumia Nafshi, my neshama is silent, which means accepting. And Mimenu, from you Hashem comes Yeshua, see my salvation. Okay, let's do another few psukim, then we'll go together. Ach. Hutsui v'Yeshua. See, only Hashem. Ach, only you. Ach is the miut. Ach, only you, Hashem. Who is the subject? Who is Hashem? Tsui, you are my rock. V'Yeshua, see my salvation. Miskabi, my
foot. By the way, the Abarbanel makes a point, and not only the Abarbanel, he wasn't silent right away.
Aaron?
Yeah, because it says after Moshe said before, Vayekodesh, then Vayekom Aaron.
So Moshe first had a...
Because he had an achama for what Moshe told him, but initially he cried plenty.
Interesting. Now I heard my brother was very close to Rabbi Yonason Davis, saying something very interesting about achama and being silent. So everyone knows that Rebbetzin David passed away. We probably mentioned it. I don't know. Rebbetzin David passed away in Chol HaMoed. And I'm sure everyone knows Rebbetzin Brurya David was a legend. And she was the daughter of Rav Chudner. And my brother was very, very close to Rabbi Yonason David and also to Rebbetzin David. Nothing, yeah. He not, no, 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 Yossel. I don't think you know my other brother. Yosef Chaim. was mamish ben bayis, and he went to learn Pachah Yitzchak. He went to learn Pachah Yitzchak. He was there for many, many years. He got married there. Rebbetz and David made his shidduch. She made a shidduch for him. Gansamai. So he went to Menachem Avil, of course, and he said that Reb Yonis and David, like you couldn't be Menachem. He was like mamish, like. When he was there, there was a very large collection of very great people, and there was dead silence, literally dead silence, and like no one can really say anything to sometimes you go to the Beis Avel and you know there's talking, there's chatting, there's showing pictures and this that, to each his own, everyone has their way of dealing with. It's not a fun thing. And like he was mamish, people couldn't really get in the word, like, because like, it was just like this dead silence. And it was very, like my brothers told me, it's like it was very disturbing. Like he's really, you know, it's a very painful thing. Okay, then he told me what happened afterwards, which was not nogea, but it's interesting. He talking about vayidoim. What does it mean vayidoim? We take, oh, vayidoim, quiet, you know, you accept it. Vayidoim, I remember that my mother, Olah Hashem, told me that my grandfather, he was, I don't know the relationship, he had shaychus with Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. And where Shmuel Birnbaum had a son that was killed. He had a son that was killed in Eretz Yisrael. Was he killed with an accident? I don't remember. It was an accident, I don't remember.
They thought he was a terrorist.
It was? Right, was it an accident or was it a terrorist?
Terrible accident.
It was an accident. And then my mother told me my grandfather went to be Menachem Avil and he lost his son. He lost a son and he went to Menachem Avil and my grandfather came back shaken up at the intensity of the silence. Like there was like nothing anyone can say that can break, you know, can penetrate. He was in incredibly intense pain during the Avelis. So you talk about Dumiya, you know, what does Dumiya really mean? Vayidoim Arain. What does that really mean? He didn't complain. Is that really what it means?
Or does it mean unable to speak?
Sometimes, you know,
having no words.
Sometimes silence, it's the silence speaks volumes, okay? Like he's like the silence is deafening, right? So, okay, that's one concept. The silence is deafening, but the other time is the silence alone is as if you've spoken, you know, an infinite number of words of agmas nefesh, of complaint, of bewilderment, of understanding. If you know the person. You know the person for so many years, and you know a great person, and then comes a time when that person has nothing to say. You know, that speaks, it speaks, dumia doesn't mean, oh, you're quiet. It's a different language.
It's much stronger than
so. Yeah.
It's a combination of two words, dum, yeah. There's a more chardat elokim.
A spiritual silence. It's a.
Sheket means you want to say something quiet. Dome means you're like a flat tire, like there's nothing there. You're like a rock. There's nothing there.
Doim laHashem hischel eloy. In that context, I remember also just thing out loud with you. I remember I wasn't there, but I remember Rybelski, Zichron Levracha, the last Yom Kippur. Rybelski, he was the Baal Tzila in Tarvadas. And the last year, the last Yom Kippur before Ne'ilah, he always spoke before Ne'ilah. Rybelski always had what to say. You know, Rybelski. He was, in fact, very outspoken. He didn't, what's an expression of a call? He didn't suffer fools lightly.
Gladly.
He did not suffer fools gladly. Rybelski, He always had what to say, always. And the last year of his life, the last Yom Kippur, I wasn't there, this is what someone told me, in Ne'ilah, Yom Kippur, as he always got up to speak before Ne'ilah, he got up and he stood there by the podium, and he says, I don't have anything what to say. I don't know what to say. I look around, I see everyone here. I know he was in his right mind. You know, I just don't have what to say. And it was very bizarre. It was very bizarre. And that was the last, that was not so long ago. That was the last Yom Kippur of his life. Like, he was very certain of what to say. He always have what to say, and no matter what. In every setting, in every situation, he was the genius of geniuses. And, you know, it's incredible, Yoresh Shemayim. He doesn't need my Haskama, obviously. And, like, he was like, what's going on here? It was very frightening, obviously. It was a very bad omen, because that year he passed away. In any event, over here we have this thing over here, that David over here is Ach Elokim Dumiya. We're dealing over here with Dosais. We're going to go with Amahalech. This Mizmor is dealing with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Goyim, is Gzeres Hashmad. Throughout Jewish history, we've always been dealing with Gzeres, and that's Das. Yedusun is, Rashi learns, Dosois, enactments that target the Jewish people to prevent them from doing Hashem's will. And when a person is faced with these situations, what is the person's reaction? When he, all of a sudden, they pass a law, you can't have shechita, can't have milah. Okay, those are easy. I thought you're low-hanging fruit. Those are the easy ones. Then when they come to Jewish education, and they come to very more sophisticated types of things, then what do you do? What's your reaction? So David over here, up here, Ruach HaKodesh is telling us his reaction. Ach, when something like this happens, ach, the only response is, El Elokim Dumiya. I have nothing to say. There's just silence. You would think there'll be a kol kare, you put up a big advertisement, everyone should come to the Beis Medrash, we're going to say Tehillim today, and now for the next 40 days, we're going to say the whole Tehillim, every day in all the shuls, you should say Shachris, 3 Mizmarim, and Mincha, 4 Mizmarim, and Maariv, 5 Mizmarim, go through the whole cycle, and there's going to be an Asefa, V'chulu, and everyone should check the mezuzahs and learn Musar and do this. No. There are certain times when there are gzeiros, ach Elokim dumia, silence, accept, or there's nothing to do. This is really what it says in the piyut. This is the piyut, we mentioned this probably 2-3 weeks ago, in the piyut of Eila Eskera, that we recite on Yom HaKippurim. Not the one that we recite on Tisha B'Av, but the one that we recite on Yom HaKippurim. So there, the Kesar, I don't remember all the details, he said to Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol, you know, I read the Bible, and I saw this halacha called kidnapping in the Aseres HaDibros. If you're guilty of kidnapping, Yechayev Misa. You are guilty of kidnapping. The 10 brothers, or the 9 brothers, they sold Yosef. The 9 brothers, kidnapping. You sold him. You stole him from your father. You sold him as a slave. You are guilty of what it says in the 10 commandments, Lo Tignoif, kidnapping. And therefore, Yechayev Misa. So you know what? If they, the 10 brothers, I don't know who made the Kesar, the judge of the world, and the... If they were here, if the 10 brothers, the 9 brothers were here, I would put them on trial and kill them for what they did to Joseph. But they're not here. So you know what? I'm going to take the Asar HaDugim Alchus, I'm going to take 10 of the greatest sages of the Jewish people, and I'm going to put them on trial, I'm going to punish them for what their ancestors did to Joseph. He makes himself into the judge and the executioner. So Rabbi Shmuel says, I hear what you have to say. Let me consult with the Bez and Shalmaila. Maybe you're right. Let me have a consultation. So he says the Shem Hashem. This is what he says. I'm not making this up. This isn't the piyut. He says the Shem Hashem, and he disappears. He goes to Shemaim, and he goes all the way to Shemaim. He disappears, and he says, is Taka true? So they say, yeah. Yeah, Taka, that's what Shemati Me'achori HaParagoyt, I heard from behind the curtain. Yeah. So, he comes back down, And he says to the Kesa, okay, we're ready. So what's the obvious question? If you have the, if you're able to say the Shem Hashem and disappear into a different world to consult, so you can say the Shem Hashem and obliterate all the Meshugayim in 1 second. So you have such incredible talent, Kedusha. What's going on over here? So the answer is no. The answer is you can't escape Hashem. You can't escape Hashem. If in Shemayim they were Goyzer, this is what is the Gezerah. You can say all the Shemos you want, and you can fly to all the worlds you want. They'll come get you. You want to go to Mars? They'll come find you on Mars. They'll come wherever you go. You cannot escape Hashem. And in essence, this mizmah really describes that tekufa after the Churban was called. It was called the time of Shmad. Shmad means to destroy. It was almost even worse than the Churban, the era of Jewish history following the Churban Beis HaMikdash was worse than the Churban Beis. What? Spiritual destruction. They were goyzer gezeres that is categorically forbidden to learn, to study, to have anything to do with Judaism. And you caught having anything to do with Judaism, chayiv misa. All the stories of Elisha Baal Kinafayim, he was wearing tefillin, and they tell me they were all learning Torah. Anything to do with Judaism, executed. And what is this? These are the dosais. And what is the solution? Sometimes there's nothing you can do. It's doim la Hashem. It's dumia. It's just to accept. Okay, there's always this, and I mean, I don't hear this anymore, unfortunately, because people are forgetting about the Holocaust. I was very, very little. One of the first times I was like introduced to the Holocaust in the Lower East Side, MTJ. I didn't really know, you're a little kid, you don't know anything about what the Holocaust, your parents never spoke about it. My grandparents were pretty much Holocaust survivors. My grandparents to a very large degree. They didn't say a word. The people who went through the Holocaust, they didn't say a word. It was like, you don't go there. And like, I was an MTJ, so they had like this assembly. They must have been like in third grade. They had an assembly on Sunday afternoon about the Holocaust. I think it was like the first time I really began to understand the Holocaust. And then not that long after, you hear these things about how come the Jews didn't fight back? Why didn't they fight back? Never again. Kahana, Philip Bloom is not here, his brother-in-law. Never again fight back. And it's a very, it's a kasha. This is a kasha that a lot of historians deal with. Right. Why didn't, 6 million people, how many Nazis were there? Why wasn't there an organized, whatever, it's very complicated. It's not, I remember once, they said, it's not such a kasha. Okay, terror, it doesn't take many people.
A fair question, because for providing the data infrastructure, nobody likes the Jews. There is Belsky partisans, which is the commenter. They just survived because there was a Russian general in the Russian army, a Jewish guy, and he allocated the material territory.
Right.
Which they control. Otherwise, the other.
It's impossible.
Killing them.
They debunk this. Right. Al Piteva.
I just wanted to say something
more.
I have from Yad Vashem a list of my families who were deported in 1944. The Hungarian was deported in 1944. If you go to the list of who were deported in 1944, you will find old men, women, and children. Boys and men from age 16 to 40, 45 were all in 1939, 1940, into the working camps. They were not born.
Right.
So
it wasn't a big deal to gather up old people and women and children.
Yes.
Right. I know. So this has been debunked.
The workhouse were happy to sell them away.
It's a naive question. Yes. Someone who doesn't know the history doesn't understand, like me. So it's a revelation of your ignorance. Ignorance of the situation. It's a very naive question to ask this. How did they just go like sheep? Why didn't they fight back? There's been encyclopedias written around this, of understanding that this is a foolish question. But put aside the foolishness of the question. Put that aside. And al pi derech hateva, that's how it was. In a spiritual sense, in a ruchniyistik mahalich, there was nothing. There was a gzeira. There was nothing you can do. It was you read from the Gedolei Yisrael, you read from the religious perspective of the Holocaust, which unfortunately has not been developed until more recently. There's a lot of the complaints, you know, the Yad Vashem, when they opened up the new Yad Vashem, there's a lot of criticism that the whole Yad Vashem in Eretz Yisrael was a very secular, extremely secular approach to the Holocaust. And for, you know, for B'nai Torah, religious people, you're not presenting it with a hashkafa, a Jewish hashkafa. And they've listened. They definitely...
The Holocaust Museum also
accepted. Right, it's very... But so in the Yad Vashem, I don't know the details, many, many years ago, but it seems what I've read is that they've taken to heart the complaints, and they have done things to bring out, you know, a Yiddish perspective of how they had. That was the big thing that he made, that they closed it down in Borough Park, in the Agudah of Borough Park on 16th Avenue and 50th Street. They had their Yiddish, probably in the whole world, the most, you know, a religious focus on the Holocaust. I don't know what happened over there. Something happened over there with the building. It was open for about 10 years. I don't know what happened at the end. But this idea is brought out is, the Gedolei Yisrael, we didn't live through the time, we don't know what it was like. 75 years ago, there was this clarity that this was a gzeira. This was a gzeira, and there's no escape. There's no escape. What are you doing? You're gonna escape? And it's easy to say this, you know, people don't want to hear this. If Mayor Abler was here, he would give me a hard time with this. It's like they have a lot of tainus in Rabbanim. Why didn't the Rabbanim tell them to run away, leave? How come the Rabbanim didn't tell them the Sova was coming, they should have told them to leave? There's a lot of discussion about this. Rabbi Rakefet, he loves to talk about this, all these topics. A lot of people, they respond to this question, again, we're just saying words, we're not entitled to talk about this, is this pasuk is when there is a clarity that it's an ace of Zam, and there's a gzeira min hashamayim. There's no escape. Well, you think you're going to run away here, you're going to run away there. It was, of course, you do your shtavos, you know, don't even talk about your shtavos, but you can't, in hindsight, look back and have complaints. These are big words to say. These are not my words. I'm just telling you what other people say. I could never say anything like this, but you don't understand. If you didn't live through it, you don't understand. This, it was clear, this was a gzeira, in hindsight. So to go back now, 75 years later, and start censoring Gedolei Yisrael, who didn't tell people they should have run away, they should have left while there was still a chance to come to America, to go to Eretz Yisrael, to go here, and because they didn't tell their kihilos the right thing, you know, they're censored. They're banned. It's a very anti-religious approach to dealing with the Kedoshim. Because in Chazal, and here's a very good example, in Chazal, when there's a gzeiras hashmad, there's no escape. There's no escape. Okay, you do your shtas, when you're going through it, you do the best that you can. But in hindsight, to go and blame people for not having the insight and giving proper advice, in hindsight, you have to look at this pasuk. Ach el Elokim dumi. When there's al yidusun, it's zman of shmad. There are gzeirois. You can't escape, and the only thing you can do is vayidoim aron, is pure silence. Okay, b'shas ma'is again. You can't say, but achar ma'is in hindsight. Vayidoim, what are you going to say? You should run. They would have went to Eretz Yisrael. What would have been? They would have run after. We don't know anything. We don't know anything. It's not good either way. Next, nafshi mimenu yeshuasi, my neshama, from you Hashem comes the salvation. From my neshama only comes from you. Pasuk gimel, Achu Tzuri V'Yeshua. See, only you, Hashem. It's in the word Ach, multiple times. You are my rock. You are my salvation. Miskabi, you are my stronghold. Loi Emoit Rabo. And what does it mean of Loi Emoit? I will not falter. Rabo. Now, what does it over here mean, Rabo? We have to see this. We see this in the Mefarshim, in the Mitzuda, at least in a moment. It means I will.
As another word.
Yeah.
Yom akar haba. Yom tzara haba.
A day of oppression. I will not falter on Rabba, who he is. The word Rabba means a day. On the day of oppression, a great oppression. On the day of great pain. Oka means tsar. I will not falter, even Rabba, at a time of great tragedy, of great pain. The Mitzuda started great distress. Mitzuda David says, Lo yomut nitiya, I will not falter, Rabba. I will not falter a lot. I don't really know what he means to say. The Alshu Miskabi Lazel Loy Omut Nitya Rabba. I will not falter a little bit. They'll knock me down a little bit, but not a lot. Lamay Nafkamina. This is how the Mitsuda Stav learned Shah in the Pasuk. I will be able to recover. I'm down, but not out. Okay, sometimes when a person is knocked down, there's no repair. Okay, there's damage and it's beyond repair. But sometimes there's damage, but it can be repaired. So we hear even during these times of Yidusun, there are dosois against Klal Yisrael, and I have been shaken up and I have been injured, but I am not loy omut rabo. I will not falter. I will not be pushed a lot, a little bit. I took the punch, but I'm coming back. Right, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not going to be a rabo. You punched me. Okay, so you punched me. So I shook a little bit, but only a little bit. L'may nafkamina, a rebound. If you push me hard and I fell all the way down, if you push me rabo a lot, I'm not going to get up. I'm down and out. But loy, the word loy is going on rabo. Loy omut rabo, which is very interesting because you would think, this is not a typical type of expression that you find in Tehillim. You say, loy omut. Whatever is going to happen to me, I'm not going to falter. Of course it means I'm going to shake. Of course it means I'm going to be hit. Oh, balamot. I'm not going to budge. Here, there's an acknowledgement. I am going to budge. They're going to damage me. I'm going to be hurt. But not Rabba. Not a lot. Look, Yaakov Avinu, myself, a similar banim, v'hu tsoleya al yirechoy. Yaakov Avinu, the struggle of Klal Yisrael and Golis is all merumas in the mice of Yaakov Avinu and the Malach. Yaakov went to retrieve the Pachim Ketanim, and what happened? He meets the Sar Shel Esav, and at the end of the day, Vayiga Bekaf HaYorech, Vehu Tzoleya Al Yorechai. So he faltered. He limped. He did fall. But Loy Amud Rabbah, he was still able to walk. He walked with a limp, but he was still able to walk. And Lamay Nafkamina, I'm going to recover. If you go and you knock me out entirely, I'm done. Loy omut rabo. Okay, now one more pasuk before we go and we look at the farshim. Ad ono, this is a really hard word, tehoi sisu al ish te rotzichu. Now the word tehoi sisu means to, I think it means to lay an ambush. Let's see if I'm saying it correctly. Miloshen mavis v'shever. Okay, loshen of death. Al ish upon a man tirotzichu. Tirotzichu also means death. Two words here which mean that how long will the enemy basically lay in ambush and try to kill us? We have to see in far more detail. Kulchem, all of you, kikir natui, all of you are like a wall. All of you, kikir natui goder hadechuya. We have to see, we'll read in a second, but basically all of the enemies, they're all waiting for us. They all want us to stand under or near a wall that is booby-trapped, that is about to collapse. And as we walk by, conveniently, the wall will collapse upon us. In other words, it's coming to define here the nature of the dosis. Sometimes the dosis, the laws, are direct. You may not learn Torah. You may not do shechita. You may not do milah. You may not you may not have anything to do with Judaism. And sometimes the laws are, you live in a wonderful country, what's the problem over here? Freedom of religion, you can practice your religion. Just that, you know, you have to be like all the other citizens, and from and then until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you have to learn about critical race theory, and you have to learn about, you know, how to use the pronouns properly, and you have to learn all this other mishigas. It's a free country. It's a free country. What's the big deal? Just do these couple of nonsense things. What do you care about? We're not doing anything, but you don't realize when you start off the day. And it's not a joke, because, you know, even though maybe in Brooklyn and New York, you know, so everyone over here is very ish el re'eyu yom echazak, but you go out of town, day schools and in other parts of the country where Judaism, you know, is struggling for survival, there are about 10 million Jews who are, you know, barely know anything, and the more that they sink into a culture of kefira, the harder it is for them to be pulled out of this. And even though the politicians are not so sophisticated, they don't even have a brain in their head, some of them. But obviously, min hashamayim, there's a gezeira. Min hashamayim, obviously, there's a problem. And when society is sinking to a moral low, not doing anything directly, there's no milcham against Hashem directly, but it's like you're walking near a wall that is about to collapse, and you don't even know it. And if you get too close to the wall, suddenly the wall can collapse, and just—that's what this pasuk says in a nutshell. Now let's see this with more precision in the Mitzudas David, starting with pasuk Beis. Back to pasuk Beis in the Mitzudas David, on page 534. Ach, loisamti toichalti ba'adam. I did not put my hope in man, ach elokim tikaveh nafshi. I only had hope in Hashem. My hope, my yearning was only in my neshama, only had hope in Hashem. Ki me'oilam yishuasi mimenu. The way the Mitzudas learns this is the Mitzudasi l'shitasai. He's learning the word yishuasi in the past. He always does this. David is a very smart person. And he uses, when he's in a difficult situation, it's not always easy to say, okay, I got a very big problem on my hands today, and I have faith. You know, not everyone can do that. You're pressed with, you know, a person, Rahman Muslim, is in a difficult situation, it's not always the best thing to talk religion. Person is in a difficult situation, don't give me religion. Right now is not a time for religion. Religion is when everything is good and fine, you know. Right now, I got a problem, and I need a solution, and emunah doesn't work for me. This is a mitzis. But so you tell, ach elokim du mir nafshi mimenu yeshuasi my neshama yeshua is in the car from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, it doesn't work like that. So what does the mitzvah David say? David says, I got a big problem. But you know something? I had the same problem. We told you this 10 years ago. I had exactly the same problem 10 years ago. How did I survive? I know in hindsight, Hashem pulled all the strings. Hindsight is 20/20. I'm able to see in hindsight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was l'malam derech hateva. Hashem, he arranged, everything worked out.
That's what it says in Vayivar HaKadosh. That's the text, basically.
In the past. So b'meila, right now, I got a big problem. I don't have to have new faith in Hashem. I just have experience. Hashem, you in the past have always been the source of my salvation. So you know what? I'm not so worried. It's not that David for the first time is taking a crash course on religion. I got a problem. I had a wonderful life, and this is the first time I have a problem. What am I gonna do? Okay, take a crash course on religion. Hashem's gonna come to my salvation. It's not gonna work. But when you realize that your whole life you had a lot of problems, and you keep track, you keep a diary of all the problems that you had in the past, you know, this problem relative to what I had 10 years ago is not so bad. And 10 years ago, how did I survive? It was impossible. In hindsight, I can see the hashkocha pratis of how Hashem got me through it. So you know what? I don't have to worry so much. I don't need a new dosage of religion. I can rely on the vaccine. I got a vaccine in the past. the vaccine, you know, it got my system going. I can rely upon that. That's exactly what it says over here. It says that the Mesudas David, he always does this. When he takes a pasuk like this, which I think the average person looks at this pasuk as if it's the first time, the very first time. Everything in life is wonderful, even though it really wasn't, but you totally forgot about what happened in the past. And now you got a problem. The world is coming to an end. Oh no, oh no. Have faith. Have faith in Hashem. Have faith in Hashem. It doesn't work for the average person. But what does work is if you do it in a nuanced way. Tell me, did you have this problem before? You know, I did. Did you survive? Did you get here now? Yeah, I did. How did that happen? I don't know. Like a person can't pay the bills. And you really, they're coming after you. It's the first time you couldn't pay your bills? No, I had this already. I had this a couple of times. It was even worse then. I had bigger creditors, bigger problems. Did you pay off all debts? Yeah, I don't know, just somehow Hashem arranged, like this happened, that happened. I got through it. Okay, you got through it in the past, we'll get through it now. You don't need a booster. Rely upon the old vaccine. It'll get you through it here as well. This is what the Mitzudis David does, ki me'oilam, which I'm translating, which I'm assuming he means from time immemorial, Yeshu Asim Imenu. Pasuk Gimel, Achutzuri, V'loi Zula, so he's my rock, Miskabi, Alshu Miskabi, Lazel, Loi Emot, Nitiya Rabba, as we explained, because he is my stronghold, I will not falter a lot. Tremendous Chiddush, what it says over here, a lot. A little, yeah. A little you could expect. You could expect to have a, you know, like you know, the markets, or the up and down, the whole life, everything in life,
fluctuation.
Everything in life is like the heart, right? The heartbeat, you know, EKG. Everything goes up and down. That's life. Everything in life goes in a cycle. Now here's the good pasuk. This pasuk is a very important pasuk. Ad on until when? Ad mosai tachshu havois. He tied until long. Now he translates over here the word havoitz means destruction. Now the Mitzudas David is the same person, and he there for some reason milosh moves for shever. So shever is really havoitz. Ad mosai tachshavu havoitz al kol ish voish. How long will the enemy plan and plot? He's adding the word tachshavu. Tachshavu will you in the plural referring to the enemy. Will they plan? Is that word he is adding into the text? Will they plan shever churban?
You in the plural.
So when we translate it, until how long will you, the enemy, plan? That word does not appear in the text and is injected by the Mitzudos. Havois, treachery. Churban, death. Al kol ish v'ish. Okay, and he puts over here the word. This also he adds this into the pasuk that no, it says al ish. He adds in though al kol ish v'ish. Where does it say kol ish v'ish? Why isn't it targeted to a specific person? We want to welcome from Eretz Yisrael online Meir Appeldorf and Tamari Appeldorf. Good morning, Tamari. Good afternoon, by you. Soon Shabbos is coming up in a couple of days. Hold on, just a little bit longer. It's around the corner, Shabbos. Hayom Yom Sheni b'Shabbos. Okay. Oh, you saw my parents. What did they tell you? What did they tell you? What was the communication? What?
You don't want me to say it publicly.
Okay, you don't want to say it publicly. I think I know what they told you. He went to the cemetery to visit my parents. Okay. Well, I thought he said a shame. No?
Remind me of my mother. Somebody called me after my father was gone 5 years already, and they asked, somebody called on the phone and asked him to talk to my father. And he said he's a very good friend. And he said, really? My mother said, really? Listen, the next time you see him, give him a call.
I just want someone says, oh, you see this guy? Hinei bal hachaloi mosba. And the guy goes, "Nu, so what did he hear? And what did they tell you in your dream last night, Nu? What communication did you receive?" Okay, let's go further. I'll call Ishva Ish Tirtzachu Yiratzayin. Now here is the way the Mitzudis David learns Shan the Pasek. Add on a how long to Hoisesu Al Ish period. He's putting here a hard paragraph break after the word Ish in this Pasek. It's very, very difficult what he's doing over here. How long will you wicked people plan to destroy the entire world? Call each then, period. New sentence, new paragraph, new book, okay, new chapter. Tir tzachu. L'shem yichud kudosh b'ruchu shchud b'dechilu. Yehi ratzayin shetiratzchu kulchem. May it be Hashem's will that all of the wicked people should be obliterated off the face of the earth. If you didn't read this Mitzudei Stava, there is absolutely no way in the world you would guess that's what the Pasuk is trying to say. This is a very wild pshat. Okay, obviously, this is the Mesorah. He's taking this from someone over here on one of the Farshim. He's in the Lila Mitzudei Stava, is a Malachite, and he's reading into this Pasuk really, Mikra Yoytzei Midei Pshutai. He's reading a whole new pshat. Yihiratzayin, may it be your will. Shetiratzchu kulchem, all of you wicked rishayim, who are trying to, according to his interpretation, to destroy the entire world. I'll call ish v'ish. Uvitchila, tiyu kichoysel hanotu lipol. In the beginning, you should be. Now this, what I told you before is not what it says over here. Here's how he learns. In the beginning, the way you should be obliterated from this earth is you should start out being like a wall that is damaged, that is as faltered, that is bent, that is tilting, like a fence that has been pushed from its location. Uvasoif, and at the end you will collapse. Uvasoif tomusu, you will die al yidei ritzicha. So then, in other words, so the next part of the pasuk is an explanation of the sequence. Kulchem, all of you should be kikir natui, and goder hadichuya, and now go backwards, and then bang, and then tiratzchu, may all of you be executed. That's quite an interpretation of this pasuk. Okay, this is a wild shot. Okay, you're taking the pasuk, you're dividing it into two parts, and the second part becomes the Yehi Ratzon, and even in the Yehi Ratzon, you have to read it out of order. And this very interesting hashkafic concept over here is why a two-part process? When there's a wicked person, you just get rid of it. When you want them first to be afraid, and they should be filled with pachad ve'ema, and then they should be executed. Why don't you just execute them in one moment? What's this process? Why is there a process for the enemy coming to an end? In Mitzrayim, was there a process? Yes and no. You know, there were 10 makos. The 10 makos didn't seem to do much for them because they still were willing to chase after Klal Yisrael into the Yam. And in the Yam, how did they die? They died in one shot. Okay, the Yam came in and you know, some of them, different categories, went up and down. Some Ka'alferes, Ke'evan, Ke'kash. So when we're talking about the Pasuk outside, an honor to Hoisesu al-Ish, this is a statement David is making in reference to the subject are all of the wicked people of this world. How long will you, Mishugoyim, plan and plot havoc, churban, and tsar upon Klal Yisrael by enacting the Yidusun, the Dosois, the Gezeirois Rois? What are you doing? What's going on over here? What's this all about, this Mishugas? And because you're so wicked, we wish upon you the following curse. Curse is first, you should kulchem, you should be kikir notui. You should be like a wall that is tilting, which means the wall is damaged and it's about to collapse. and like a goder hadachuya, a wall that has been uprooted from its original foundation. What's the analogy? What's the metaphor? There are many things you can say when you want to instill fear upon a person. For some reason, this is the mashal he's giving. And then, go to the beginning of the pasuk, and then along comes the executioner, and to rotzechu, you should be executed. It's a very violent word. You should be executed. Okay, that's the way the Mitzvah Stav learns shot in this pasuk. Let's see Rashi now. Rashi, pasuk, going back to pasuk, base. It's the midah keneged midah. So the Rav Kalman is saying is that it's midah keneged, because they planned, this is their technique for us. First, they wanted us to be natui, and then they wanted just to wipe us out. You say, okay. You know, it's like you say, like the Nuremberg, like in like you see this in America to some degree, is where you know first you try to go after your enemies with laws, the Nuremberg laws, Nazi Germany. You pass laws. You pass laws that are discriminatory against the Jewish people. So it's the law. It's the law. We didn't do it. It's the law. It's the law. And then when you see that it's not effective, they just take out a machine gun and kill you, murder you. That's not the law. It doesn't say in the law you let it go and murder us. The laws are total nonsense. You hide behind, no, we don't like you, so you make laws. And then, law? Who cares about the law? We'll just kill you. That's not the law. We'll just murder you. So you have Kalman saying, first, we'll just, you know, the wall, we'll damage the wall. Oh, the wall is damaged. So, you know, then you know it's a danger. We'll call in the building department, and the building department will say, you know, the wall is damaged. It's not to it. It's a public hazard. The wall has to be demolished. And then we go to court. No, we don't need to demolish the wall. We'll put some concrete. We'll fix it a little bit. We'll keep the wall. And when they see it doesn't work by damaging the wall, you know what they do? They just come with a bulldozer and knock down the wall. They don't care what the law says. They don't care. The same way that's what you did to us, that's what should be done to you. Mida keneged mida. Okay? Very, very good. Let's see again. Let's see another Rashi. Rashi pasuk says, "By Rashi pasuk says, dumia nafshi mitzapo nafshi." He teaches the word dumia, not silence. I'm not backing it. When I told you that, when I told you there's another other mafreshim say this, but if he was, he quotes the pasuk, "Doim la Hashem v'hischoylel lo." Until now, I've been translating the word "doim" is dumia. Vayidoim aharon. Vayidoim aharon. To marry, where does it say vayidoim aharon? What's the pasuk? To marry. What's the pasuk? Where? Vayidim Aaron, chapter and verse. Mayor, turn on the mic so we can hear chapter and verse. We're testing Tamari. She's trying to tell us what pasuk it is. Okay. Loi emoit. Loi emoit. Loi emoit over here. So he tied. He learned that time. Doim l'Hashem means hope. Doim also means hope. Doim la Hashem, have hope in Hashem, the hischoylel, and yearn, loy, yearn for Hashem. Yearn for Hashem. Mayor, we ask Tamari, where is the pasuk? Vayidei Maron. Turn on the you're on mute. And she told us.
1 second, ask it again.
Tamari, where's the pasuk? Vayidei Maron.
Vayidei Maron.
10-2.
10-2. Can anyone here do that here? 10-2, you want to go look it up somewhere? That's right, Vayikra, it's in Shemit. 10-2, it sounds right? It sounds right. 10-2. Okay, can anyone do that? I can see to a pasuk and you can tell me exactly the perek and the pasuk? Mr. Elman, can you do that?
Parts of Bereshit.
What?
First part of Bereshit, I can do that.
Bereshit. The whole Torah, you can do that? 10-2. I said, Vayidim Aaron, and she on the spot said 10-2. Want to go look it up? You know, pretty good, huh? Mitzapeh, who's the Rosh Kol over here, Mayor? Okay.
You have two Rosh Kol, one in Eretz Yisrael and one in Flatbush.
So over here, Doim Hashem Yisraelo, Pasuk Gimel. Loi emayt Rabba matus gidayla. Okay, that's what the Mesilas David says. Umedush agada Rabba gehinom. So therefore, I will not descend. Loi emot. I will not. So what does it mean over here? How do you teach lo emot Rabba? I'm assuming it means you have to add in some letters. I will not falter to the degree where I will descend into Gehenim. Is that what it means? Am I saying that correctly? So you have to really inject a lot of words into the pasuk. That's really what it means to go say. Rav Kalman pointed out what it says in the Targum. The Targum says, "Loi azua, I will not shake. I will not shake, be terrified. Biyoim okor rabo, on the day of great distress, on the time like Mochemes Goygum Magoy, big deal." No big deal. You walk down the street, everything is fine and good. No digas. I will not. I'm not gonna. Doesn't bother me. So, dear Rabbah, you want to say? Maybe you want to go say is that when all Gehenim breaks out in this world? Is that what you want to say? That pshat? When all Gehenim breaks out in this world, when they open the gates of Gehenim and they let all these Meshugayim come to this world and take over this world and make a churban in this world, lo yamut. It doesn't bother me. Hashem is with me. I'm not going to falter even when Rabbah, the world, seemingly is coming to an end. Next, Pasuk Dalet, Hoisesu, Menachem Perash. Over here, all of the Rashi's Chavedim, Menachem Perash, Megizras, Hesayu, Le'ochla, Vayese, Roshayam, which means to come. Right? Vayese means to arrive. So what does the Pasuk then mean? Ad Ono, to hoisisu, how long will you come al ish? Will you go? The word means to vayese. It means like vayese means to come, to go, to travel. How long will to hoisisu? Will you come upon al ish? To rotzichu, next word, ad ono. Te'osu, will you gather? Okay, Vayesei or Rosh Yama means, maybe more precisely, it means to come, it means to gather. You all come together. Ad ono, te'osufu al ish. For what purpose? Te'rotzuchu, to murder them. So this is not what the Mitzvah David said. He's learning, again, according to the Mitzvah David, the word te'hoisu comes from the word havos, which means treachery, destruction. That's not way... Right, but that's not the way the Rashi. Rashi ties the word to chayisu, means to gather. To gather, and he brings rayos. Vayese roshayam. The heads of the people gather together. How, and then according to this interpretation, tirotzuchu fits in better. It continues the sentence. How long will all of you gather upon man for the purpose of depopulation? Tirotzuchu. Murder. You're trying to destroy the world. You're trying to destroy the world. For what purpose? I don't know what purpose. You want their money? You want just for fun? How long will you gather together to conspire upon man to bring about man's execution? An honor to asu al ish, period. The linira, Rashi disagrees with Menachem. This is exactly what the Mitzvah David said. Rashi now, the Mitzvah David has drawn his translation from Rashi's second interpretation, the hey v'sav shirish. And that would make the letter hey and the letter vav part of the root of the word of havos. The hey and the sav, because according to Menachem, the hey and the sav, it's the yud is part of it. There really should be a yud here, and the hey is just like a prefix. It's not really part of the word. Kasha yoimar min meis moves. From the word meis, we add a vav. Over here it says to hoisesu the vav. Kach nemar min yisoid heis havos. The word heis means to destroy havos. Uloshen rabim havos. Okay, loshen rabim, there are two vavs. Vihi loshen machashaves. Shever v'sarmis. Now, here's a very interesting thing that I didn't pay attention to, and this is what I pointed out when we learned the Mitzudas David. When the Mitzudas David, I told you incorrectly that he's in adding a word in the pasuk that does not exist. From the context of the pasuk, it's clear that the word needs to be added, injected. Rashi says that's not correct. You don't need to add anything. The word havois, the word itself, carries with it a plan. That is the translation of the word havois. It doesn't mean actual chorbin. It means a plan to destroy. And the pasuk is very precise. Ad ona, how long will you wicked people to hoisesu, plan to destroy al-ish, mankind? That's what the word havois actually means. A thought, a plan to bring destruction and damage. Period. Now we have a third interpretation. The yesh mefarshim to hoisu kmo ta'arichu. Kiloimar, ta'arichu l'shenchem al b'nei adam b'ra, will you extend? Will you... How long will you extend, meaning, like, you know, will you elaborate? How long will you elaborate words of nonsense? Tarichu l'shenchem al b'nei adam b'ra v'dimuhu l'loshen ha'arov kishamarbe bidvarim. And this is an amazing. Look at what's over here. This is for one more. Look over here. An ice base. This case a whole new pshat in Harev No Hashem Elokim. This is the very Saraska b'fin l'fiyam chabes yishol. We say in the morning. First in the citizens came l'loshen ice base to ha'isu. Ladas Menachem Sharsha, according to Menachem, the root over here is Osa. Osa means to come. Osa, like Bosa. Osa. Shatavoy this say Osu, they will come and gather. V'nichvul hatav, I don't know what that stands for. Oladas Rashi Sharsha Havos, the Vav. V'hoil since Vav Nocha, B'milas to Choysesu, V'zeom v'nisa to Heis. Ula yesh mefarshim shirasha hases. Three letters. V'hoira asai. What does it mean? V'hoira asai. It's coming. The point of the word is, what does it mean? It means harochas halosh. It means to verbosity. It means verbiage. To talk a lot. Umashem esayim v'dimura l'loshen ha'arav. I don't know what he means by that, but I think what he means over here is that there's an incredible insight into what we say every single day in davening. Every day we say in davening, Birchas HaTorah. We make the bracha of Asher Kedoshanu B'mitzvos HaVitzvot La'Asek B'Divrei Torah. And then we say the second bracha, or part two of bracha number one, V'Ha'arevno. Hashem Elokeinu Divrei Sarascha B'Finu. How does the average person translate the word V'Ha'arevno? May it be sweet. May it be pleasant. Na divrei sarascha befinu, the words of your Torah in our mouth. We should enjoy the learning. Someone told me recently, you know, there was a very big debate among in the yeshivas way back. Do you need to learn Musar? Avishol Salanta, he won the debate. Does a yeshiva bachar need to learn Musar? If you're learning 18 hours a day of Blat Gemara, if you're learning Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Rambam, Dravid, if you're learning the whole day, Daf Gemara, is it important also to spend time learning Musa? Do you need to learn Musa? So this was an age-old debate between the Musa yeshivas and the Litvish yeshivas. A lot of the Litvish yeshivas, I don't know what I'm saying, which yeshivas, I forgot all this stuff, I use the whole history behind this, all the exact, and many, and Avishol Salanter felt, he went on a crusade, that learning Gemara is not going to do enough for you. Just because you learn the Daf Gemara, you sit and learn the whole day, you're not going to behave in the afternoon, Mr. Merilis. Mr. Merilis, if you learn the Daf Gemara in the morning, and it comes English, does the Daf Gemara that you learn until 2 o'clock, does that improve your midos so that during Limud Echol you sit by your math teacher as an angel? Well, what? What did you say?
Don't talk about it.
Does it do? Shabbos Shol Slavin said it's not going to help. You can sit and learn the Hasmada Rabba, night Seder and first Seder and before davening, Gemara, 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 Gemara. It's not going to improve your midos. You have to learn Musar. You have to go and meditate and go into a Musar klois and say again and again, Ich bin a garnished. Ich bin a garnished. You have to learn Musar.
You have to believe it.
And then there was a school of thought that hell, it's not true. It's a waste of time to learn Musar. When you learn a Daf Gemara, the sacredness, the spirituality of learning is so powerful, it will automatically provide your neshama with Musa. And it will automatically transform you into an angel. You learn Bahasmada Rabbah, a Daf Gemara, from 9 to 2 o'clock. When the math teacher walks in at 3 o'clock, you're going to be a Malach Elokim. You're going to behave yourself. The sanctity of learning a Daf Gemara is going to make such an impression upon you, you're going to just transform you. So who won the battle?
That's only if you learn properly. There's a lot of If you learn properly.
But okay, so this was an age-old debate, and it wasn't just an age-old debate, it was a passionate debate. It was a path. I think they closed down the Volozhin once because of this at the end. This was a passionate debate before, at one point in time in Jewish history, 100 years ago, I don't know all the names, amongst the B'nai Torah, is it necessary to learn Musar? So someone recently told me that my grandfather, he learned in Baranovich. By Rav Baruch Ber, and they did not learn Musa. They did not learn Musa there. And he got into a debate, I don't know all the details, someone told this to me recently, my uncle told this to me recently, he got into a debate with I don't know who, with some other yeshiva, when he went somewhere, how come they don't learn Musa? They don't learn Musa in Baranovich. By Rabbi Chanan, by Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, how come they don't learn Musa there? So my grandfather says, because there in Baranovich, they learn with a geschmack. They learn with te'ovoin. They learn with the harevna. They learn, they enjoy the learning so much, it makes an impression upon their neshamos. It serves in the place of learning Musa. But you guys, when you learn, you don't have that geschmack in learning. You learn like robots. You learn, it's like a religion. You shackle, you shake your head a little bit, and you go over the Gemara. You don't have that geschmack in learning. You learn because you have to accumulate knowledge. It's a religious thing to learn. You don't enjoy it. That's why you need Musar. But if you would learn with a geschmack, then you wouldn't need to learn Musar. This is all, you know, up in the sky over here. These in the machlokes over here. So the point, what?
Open school, I was teaching yeshiva, you know what yeshiva is.
Yeah, I know.
My cousin's friend came up, the mother of one of my students, and she says, you know, my son has mishma two nights a week, and he has a tutor two nights a week, he learns, he has no time for recreation. I said to her, I'm his recreation. You gotta let loose, he's allowed to.
Learning Musa doesn't make a person a mensch. Years ago, a person was a mensch.
You have to Musa, okay, so yeah.
People don't know what a mensch means.
Yeah, that's right. Musa. Rav Yishol Salanta, he won the day. Today it is accepted beyond a shadow of a doubt that a Daf Gemara is not going to do the job. Okay, the battle is over. There's no one's going to tell you today that you don't need to learn Musa. There's no one. No such thing today. Today, everyone acknowledges that learning all the Hasmada is not going to help you for Musa. What's the problem? My grandfather was right. My grandfather says they learned about Baranovich for the geschmack. You know why? Because it's taka what it says in the Nusach of the Tzila. V'ha arevna. It should be sweet. It should be pleasant. But guess what? Rashi says that's not what it means. It's not what the word v'ha arevna means. The word v'ha arev means it should be lengthy. We should learn the hasmada. There should be a lot. V'harev no Hashem Elokeinu es divrei sarascha b'finu. The words of Torah should take up a lot of space, a lot of words. Our sicha should be a lot. We should be marich. It doesn't mean sweet and pleasant. See, the nafka mina between the Bali and Musa.
Doesn't mean Arabic here?
Vidimu li loshoin ha'arav kishamar be'bidvarim. You say I'm not saying it correct what he means over here? The yeish mefarshim tehoisu kmo ta'arichu. Tarichu kolayma ta'arichu l'shonchem al b'nei adam b'ra v'dimuhu l'loshoin. So I'm making a very embarrassing mistake, and the word ha'arav means Arabic. Okay, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I accept. L'loshoin ha'arav kishamar be'bidvarim. Over here, what is the very last of the Sivzei Zekenim? Umash shemisayim v'dimur l'loshoin ha'arav yaduha yolarash yizal. Alright, so then what I'm saying is a foolish thing then. That in Hebrew, ha'arav means sweet. And over here, the word arav means Arabic. I'm making a foolish thing that I'm saying over here. Okay, I'm not the first one to note that I'm a fool, but okay. All right, but
it's also right.
Okay, the idea. All right, I hear. That's not what the word harav means. Okay. So the bottom line then is, we have over here, we have to stop over here, but we have over here three, we finished the pasuk over in the Rashi. Yeah, no, we'll finish Rashi very quickly in a second. But we have over here three beautiful perushim from Rashi, what this sentence means, according to Rashi. Ad ono te hoisisu, for how long will the wicked people gather together? Gather together al ish on mankind, against mankind, to ratzichu, to murder them. The world is always in a state. There's something that we don't understand. There's this chaos in this world that it's not understandable. That man, since creation, there's been wars. How come there are always wars? When will the wars come to an end? Cain and Hevel had the first world war, right? Weren't they fighting over the whole world, Cain and Hevel?
Yes.
Today, there are wars all over the world today. Wherever you go, there's a war. Wars never come to an end. That's the first shot. Second shot is, ad ono te choisesu, how long will you plot churban? Okay, it's not gather, not. How long will you plot Churban Alish? And the third interpretation is, how long will you be Marich Devarim? How long will you engage in conversation as to how you can properly carry out your plan or come up with ideas of destroying the world? They're all very similar. They all are the same message. They all are the same concept. But the way we get to that result is different. See, you all come to the same concept, but how do you get there? You can go down Coney Island Avenue, you can go down Ocean Avenue, Ocean Parkway. You get to the same place, but how do you get there? Okay, when we learned Targum in the afternoon, we discovered that sometimes Rashi says that. Rashi says, Targum, you're right, you reached your destination, the correct parish, but the way you translated the words to get there is wrong. It's kitarguma. When Rashi says in Chumash, kitargumoi, and then he comes to disagree with the targum. What is Rashi saying? Rashi, sometimes he does that. He says, what's pshat in the pasuk? The pshat in the pasuk is kitargumoi. And then he goes on to say, not like the targum. So what does Rashi mean to say? Rashi means targum, you got the concept right. The concept that you're presenting is correct. But the way you reached the concept by translating the words in the fashion that you did is wrong. I'm going to give you a more precise translation of the words, and we will come to the same place. Here's an example. All three of the Mefarshim, all three of Mahalchim, Menachem, Rashi, and who's the Yesh Mefarshim, they all reach the same destination. They all say the same thing. We're dealing, the subject are wicked people. And what are they engaged in? They're engaged in destroying the world. And how do they do that? Well, that's the concept. And it's the way we translate the words. Either how long will you people actually plot to destroy the world? How long will you gather in your assemblies for the purpose of planning? And how long will you talk about this nonsense of destroying the world? They all reach the same destination, but the nafkamin is how they got there depends on how you want to translate this word. That's the $6 million question. That's the $6 million question. What do they care? What do they care? You know, that this is the mystery that no one can understand this. What is the goal? What is the goal? What is the goal of all this? Is it money? Doesn't seem like it. Doesn't seem like they're not going to be nanny from the money. Is it fun? It's not fun. What is it? I don't know. Does anyone know? All right, we'll stop.